Well, hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm delighted to be interviewing Dr. V, Dr. Venus Nicolino, who's from Marriage Bootcamp and has written an amazing bestseller called Bad Advice. Hi, Venus.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for visiting Dr. K. So this year has been a big year for you. You're on TV every week with Marriage Bootcamp.
Yep. It's been a long, it's been a long couple seasons, yeah. But I've made it. I've survived.
What has been the most exciting part of that, dealing with the Hollywood hip-hop crowd?
It is a great show to really showcase the power of love and the power of choice. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not invested if our couples stay together. While that's my hope, I'm not really invested in that. Mm-hmm. I'm invested, are they making the best choice? So we run a series of exercises that we put our boot campers through. Mm-hmm. To really assess whether this is the person they should be with or not.
Right.
And that is super exciting.
You know what? People don't even do that in real life.
They don't.
You're about to marry someone, you don't even put yourself through a logical quiz of, are the characteristics good?
Right.
Is this going to be a good match for the rest of my life? It's just all love and emotion and hormones.
Yeah.
Right?
Chemicals, exactly. And
chemical attractions.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, so many people on the street will say, I learned so much from that show. So
yes.
At least people are able to sort of take in the show, sort of have a takeaway for at home. Like, do I communicate with my partner like that?
Yes.
So that's always a good sign.
Or sit back and analyze those naughty behaviors that maybe that they're allowing their partner to do and not even calling them on it.
Right.
So tell us about your book. You've written a book that's hit the LA Times bestseller list.
Yes. It's called Bad Advice, How to Survive and Thrive in an Age of Bullshit. And it really debunks all the bullshit you hear really throughout your life. When, you're feeling just a little too hopeful about the world, there's the negative Nancy that tells you, well, expectations lead to disappointment. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, is that really true? Mm. Do expectations lead to disappointment? Is that true? Is that even a scientific fact?
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of got me thinking about other things. You'll often hear after a breakup or if you're sad over a relationship, well, you can't love anyone until you love yourself.
Ugh, I've heard that
a lot. Is that true?
Every day on Instagram, people
every
say
day.
That.
And so many of these little pieces of bad advice have come from social media because we're sharing them now so often. So I would see this not only repeated back to me by clients, but also everywhere on Instagram, everywhere on Twitter, usually with a stock photo of a heart or a lighthouse that's supposed to free you, So I was like, are these things true? So there's this, it walks you through, why do we say this? Where did it come from?
Yeah.
And if that's not true, what is?
That is so true. I love the cover of the book says, are you sick as fuck? Oh, I can't even say that. Sorry.
Yes, you can, Dr. Gay.
I don't think I can on iTunes. We're going to bleep that, Josh. Of inspirational quotes. Sick AF of inspirational quotes over motivational images. Done with the shiny, happy, bad advice that gets you nowhere. You're about to get a ton of good advice from Dr. V. That's so awesome. So tell us, we're entering February.
Yeah.
The month of love.
Yes.
I'm so excited because I love to decorate for Valentine's. And
wow.
We have a Galentine's party. We have so much fun in our office.
You're into this.
I love it. Yes.
Wow. You know what? I'll tell you. I used to be a little bit cynical. I used to feel like Valentine's Day was a way for us to up the economy after the holidays and for single people to feel like crap.
It is.
But I've come around because I ask myself, is it ever wrong to celebrate love?
Never.
Is it ever wrong?
No.
There's never a wrong time to celebrate love. Just make sure you can see it through your FD. TD flowers and cheap chocolates, right? Just yes. Make sure you can see it
through
all
that.
Don't
get obsessed about getting things. Right. And don't be jealous of other people going out on their little special date night.
Yeah.
Because that's annoying, too, when you try to go eat out and all the prices are double. Yeah. And then the cute little couple's all dressed up and you're like, oh, God, I'm so over that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also so touching. Like, I remember being there. Mm-hmm. We all remember. Like, head over heels, hormones, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't lose sight of love. And I'm always all about the beauty. And there's so much to celebrate.
Right, right.
So I'm seeing some Hollywood and hip hop people in the office, too. And they have some strong personalities. How do you deal with that?
Yes. Well, you know, big personalities require bigger measures.
That's so true.
So, and, you know, the show addresses that, the Marriage Bootcamp Hip Hop Edition, because we want our boot campers to feel what they're feeling on a cellular level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, insight doesn't lead to change. You know, a lot of people think that once they understand something, that their behavior will change.
Well, what leads and to that's, change?
Change leads to change.
Yeah.
Changing leads to change. So and experiencing true. Something in your body that feels different, that leads to change because you're able to use that as a springboard.
Right.
So many of our activities are physical so that you can really feel something visceral and on a cellular level, for lack of a better word. Big personalities require big measures.
They do, and they require big confidence coming from you, too. So, and I can see that you project that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
Because it's true. Like, I mean, you don't always have that in life. You have to grow it and develop it. Like, when I graduated med school, I know you come out as a doctor, baby doctor.
Yeah.
You're not so confident, and then you gradually grow. And this year, too, I've been dealing with a ton of beauties, models, supermodels, celebrities. Mm-hmm. So then you just break it down to they're just a human, you know, they're just a person like anybody else. And in fact, sometimes they have very bad behavior because they've been treated like a celebrity.
Right.
So it's nice to have like strict grounds of, you know, strict advice.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm going to be 47 in March. And I'll tell you.
You guys need to get a visual of this because this is one stunning lady sitting in front of me.
Yes, I do. I mean,
mentally, I break down faces without even, like, my mind automatically looks at all the features and I see, like, perfect harmony, no lines, excellent balance.
I love you.
No, no obvious trace of fillers, just super subtle, great maintenance.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
But as I'm turning 47 in March, I'll tell you, I am just sinking into this bath of I don't give an F.
Yeah, that's true.
And that brings with it a level of confidence where you're able to prioritize the things that you care about and the things that you don't, or the things that are you're allowing to take up more space in your head than you really should. Mm-hmm. So I think as I get older, I care more about the important things and less about the things I shouldn't. And that feels great, right?
That does. It's like when you go to a cocktail party and you're talking to someone who's so boring and they're just like chewing your ear and you're tired of small talk. Like I'm at that stage in life where I'll just say, okay, it was nice to meet you. Bye. Mm-hmm. Because like,
oh my God,
I don't have
so
minutes
nice.
To wait.
I'm like, stop talking. Right? That's so nice of you.
But I used to be the person that would stand there and just keep listening and nodding and, you know, and now I'm just like, life is too short.
You know
I've got what I need from you. Yep. I'm moving on. I need to move on.
And also, too, I think that is very female to feel like I got to sit here and listen to you BS because I just don't. I wasn't socialized to be like, okay, that's just nice talking to you. Yeah, great. You know what I mean? Like to actually
like
interrupt.
Like a man.
I mean, I'll often say to people, pretend I have a penis and then address me. Right?
Oh, that's a good one.
Pretend I have a penis and then address me.
And then they can't talk anymore. Their mouth is on the floor. But
so I think what you're bringing up is you know, a socialization among females.
It's so true.
And then as we get older, We're like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. This doesn't work for me.
I have to tell myself that. Now I'm negotiating with these big companies, filler companies. Like mm-hmm. I interviewed the CEO of Allergan, the Botox company, mm-hmm. and I'm asked to be a speaker and presenter. And like I find myself asking things in a very feminine way. Mm-hmm. And then I have to say, damn it, like let me edit that and write it like a man would. Yes, like I need to just be direct and not be like, you know, cutting around the bushes.
Like it's almost like you're apologizing for asking the question or you're making them feel a little better before you ask.
You're sugarcoating, you're a little like sliding your question in.
Or you're self-deprecating. You know, maybe I don't understand. So I'm just, you understand? You understand. I one time had a group of men say to me, you know what? It's not very ladylike to always be cursing. I said, suck my dick. How's that?
Should have gone to, you should have trained in surgery with me. You would fit right in at the table in the operating room when the orthopedic surgeons turn to you and like treat you like a jock and they're telling you stupid ass jokes about boobs. Yes, you would have fit in great.
And you know what? Residency, it must be so brutal for up and coming, well, you're already a doctor, but up and coming, you know, as you say, baby doctors.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they treat their residents is crazy.
It's a total pecking order.
I'm always shocked by the stories I hear regarding that. I'm always shocked.
It hasn't changed much. I mean, there's this whole, you know, hashtag Me Too generation. So people are on high alert, but there is still so much going on in the boardrooms, in the operating room where women have to deal with bullshit that they shouldn't
even
have
to. Even men. You
even
know?
Men.
They're subject to these... just punched myself in the face with a microphone.
Yeah, be careful.
It's a big thing here. it doesn't like me. That's okay.
We'll edit that.
Thanks. So even men in the residencies are just those brutal hours. Anyway, my heart goes out to that. Lots of kudos and empathy for that.
It's kind of like a dehumanizing process a little bit because, I mean, to be able to take care of someone when they're at their worst or they're bleeding out or they're right in front of you, you're deteriorating, you need to be able to put aside your humanness and your vulnerability and just be like really calculatingly, you know, make them survive.
Yeah.
So I think that you get bred that way, that you get bred to wake up and take emergencies in the middle of the night without even thinking. Your brain knows what to do and it goes in the right mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully when you graduate residency, you incorporate back the humanity and being a woman again, actually.
Yeah. It sounds like you've done that.
I was lucky. I had babies in residency. I had twins in my chief year at UCLA.
That was hard.
Damn hard year. Ugh. Yeah, I think I'm the only woman ever to do that.
That's
history.
Insane.
Yeah,
how,
but it
how
was
old are
great.
They now?
They're
old
actually
they?
19, and they're both in Georgetown and college.
Wow.
I know.
Oh my God. I have a 10 and a 12-year-old.
You do.
That is boys. I have a 10 and 12-year-old, and then I have a 2.5 little girl.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. I have four. So I have two that are 19, then a 17. Mm-hmm. And a 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And
the work balance for mom isn't easy. You know, it's not an easy thing to do.
It's not. Yeah. It's still the same world out there where you're expected to be, you know, be a mom who act like a mom who doesn't work and work like a mom who doesn't have kids.
That's such a brilliant way to put that.
Isn't that crazy that we're still expected to be all of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And make you laugh and make you feel good about yourself and be beautiful.
It's like that Instagram bad advice.
Yeah. Bitches, I need a vacation.
It's like the bad advice we get on Instagram that you can have it all.
Yes.
Like, no, you can't, honey. Yeah. You cannot have it all.
It's a tricky negotiation.
It really is. And I think that if you try too hard to have it all, you're going to be disappointed every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to realize that some days you're good at work and some days you're good at being a mom. And
well, you're asking, you're having unrealistic expectations about yourself.
Right.
And that just will wear you down.
Mm-hmm.
It'll affect your self-esteem. It'll affect your work output. It'll affect how you spend time with your kids, you know, because you're with your kids and then all of a sudden you're feeling guilty that you weren't with them more.
Yeah.
So I think what you said is so true.
How do you deal with feeling guilty about not being with kids? Because your schedule must be brutal.
Yeah, my schedule is brutal. I take it one day at a time. Uh-huh. I really do. I think because my kids are 10 and 12, they're much more self-efficient than they once were.
Yeah.
So I feel a confidence in them that perhaps I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as they get older or at this developmental stage, I feel a little less guilty. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if that's even the right word. It's more, you just want to make sure that their needs are being met, right?
Yeah,
and that you're basically being the good enough mother.
I mean, if you think about it, I think when I started out with my kids, I was a little bit helicopterish and like mm-hmm. really made them excel at everything. And then with my third and fourth kids, I've really backed off. And it's been wonderful. Like, you know, you got a form to fill out for school. I'm like, fill it out. You need a check for Girl Scouts?
Right.
Write the check. I'll sign it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, learn some independence. Because that's what our parents did for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But we also grew up in a different time. You know what I mean? Like we had all the houses were connected. It was a super working class neighborhood,
like
public school kid.
Yeah.
You know, the neighborhood was watching out for you in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if mom and dad weren't around, Isabel, my next door neighbor,
right.
was like, you should have seen what Venus did today. Or some, whatever it might have been. So we're living in, moms need to help moms more.
Yes.
When, I live in Bel Air now, and I always say I wanted a home and a house where people could feel that they could get support and mm-hmm. they could get love. So on the regular, I have people sort of like dropping off their kids in my house to get that like neighborhood feel. Like, someone is there. Someone is there to help.
That is perfect.
And that feels good, right?
It definitely does. Yeah. What other good advice do you have that's not bad advice mm-hmm. from this book? Well, give me another cliche that you break down in your book.
Well, I mean, given that it's love.
With the length of love.
I think the idea, we could talk about you can't love anyone until you love yourself.
Yes.
So is that really true? And what I loved about this book is that I was able to talk to the leading experts in the field, and scientists and biologists and anthropologists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a fun conversation to be having. So you can't love anyone until you love yourself. Well, first of all, you are built to love people mm-hmm. biologically. Your love is happening. You're loving people all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And yourself, how you feel about you, doesn't give a f-. Bleep that out, Josh.
Bleep, bleep.
Bleep, bleep. It doesn't give a f- how you feel about you.
Yeah.
Your chemicals are loving people. Your biology is meant to love other people. You may not love them well, but you're going to love them.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how you feel. So it also implies that love is a sequence of events.
Mm-hmm.
First I love me, then I love you. And love doesn't happen that way. Love is co-created mm-hmm. between two people. And this idea of love yourself, we're branding this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Love your, but nobody tells you how. You know why? Because mm-hmm. it's scientifically and biologically impossible to love yourself in the way you would love someone else.
Really?
So we are telling people to do the impossible. Now, self-love and self-care are very different.
Mm-hmm.
But when people think of the word love, they think of what they give to someone else that they need to do for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's just not how love works.
No.
So,
and in fact, you'd be a very weird person if you loved yourself that much.
Well, I mean, you'd be Gucci Mane on the regs, you know, saying, I love me, tweeting, I love me, I love myself. I mean, but
but that's like so conceited and introspective and vanity almost, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's this idea of love yourself, or you can't love anyone until you love yourself. What a bunch of BS.
That's true.
And you know, you had brought up the month of love. It's February.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed the most among, I will say, young people, I feel like I'm at that age where I can be like, you young people.
Yeah, millennials. I talk trash about millennials all the time, but they're my favorite people.
They are.
They're my demographic.
So we love you.
Yes.
So
we're just paving the way for you guys.
Just take it or leave it.
We're one of you.
You know, there's this idea, particularly, you know, meeting people online or on these apps
mm-hmm.
or even just in a relationship, there's this attitude that the person who cares less wins.
That's interesting.
That there's this weird attitude.
It's
that
true.
The person who cares less wins.
Like if you're, it's so true when you text someone, if you feel like if you sent that last text and you shouldn't have, like you should have left it at them.
You should care less.
Yes.
Because you'll win. But here's the reality. The person who cares less gets less.
Yeah.
Would you ever apply that to your job? Care less. You'll do better.
Right.
Or would you apply that to your family? Care less.
Yeah.
Things will work out. You would never apply this idea or this attitude anywhere in your life. Mm-hmm. And yet, we're applying this to love mm-hmm. and to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who cares less wins, and that's just not true. I feel that we need to guide young people and people in general to lean into love.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to love. Learn how to love other people, you know, because sometimes, and just sometimes, when you love other people, you learn how to love yourself. Just sometimes.
Yeah. You learn to be vulnerable.
Right.
You learn.
You're not scared.
You become more accepting.
You're not afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know, you lean into love because your love is yours.
Mm-hmm.
You own your love. Nobody else. It doesn't matter if that person is going to be there tomorrow or a year from now. Your love is still yours.
Right.
And to have confidence in that person doesn't alter your love inside of yourself.
Right.
So anyway. That's
so difficult for especially, I think, 20 to 30-year-old women who have to deal with dating on these stupid apps where, mm-hmm. you know, the guy doesn't text you back for like mm-hmm. 3 weeks and that makes them better than you because mm-hmm. you're reaching out and they're not reaching back.
Yeah. So, but the bottom line is, if you lean into that relationship and you don't get what you want back,
then, you know, you walk away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why waste 3 weeks?
Yes.
Just like, you know what I mean? Either you're in or you're not. Bye. It's that simple.
Right.
And by the way, men complain over the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So men and women want the same things. You just want to be loved. You want to be cared for. You know, you want unconditional love. You want to find a partner. You want to walk through the world with them. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just women who complain about that. It's also men. So, and a lot of people are afraid to love. Lean in.
That's true.
And lean in hard.
What's your advice about marriage these days?
Sorry, Gorgeous.
That's Siri talking. Siri.
What does Siri say?
Siri. Hey, Siri, what's your advice about marriage these days? Sorry, Gorgeous. Marriage is not popular. But no, marriage has come back, and I think, in popularity now. What do you think?
I think it's come back in popularity because we're redefining what marriage is. I think that women are finding more freedom in marriage that they didn't have before,
mm-hmm.
that they're able to say what they want and what they need, and that marriage is based on, hopefully, a stone of equality where it was not before.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? Marriage didn't benefit women, and marriage is an institution made by men for men.
Right.
Men benefit from marriage. On every scale of quality of life measures,
mm-hmm.
men report that their life gets better
True.
When they're married.
Yeah.
Guess what? For women, their quality of life goes down.
It's interesting.
So marriage doesn't benefit women, or at least it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this is such a tricky thing. Society convinced women, almost brainwashed them, that mm-hmm. that's what they need to do to be happy. And it convinced men, like, oh, you don't want a ball and chain. Like, what a mind fuck.
It's
like,
true.
You won't even benefit off of this transaction.
I know, right?
But you will.
Given a false bill of advertising here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In order to convince women into this institution, we had to convince them that that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I would say that marriage is not built to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
People think, oh, they're going to get married, they're going to be happy. Marriage is built to have a family under an institution, if that is what you want.
And a partnership.
And a partnership, of course. But you can also have that partnership without being married. So it's about institutionalized a partnership, right?
That's true.
So it really, because you could have that partnership, you know.
I know people, I think marriage benefits people is like, okay, when you're young and attractive, yes, you can have people in your life without being married to them. But you reach a point where, okay, even though you're doing your maintenance and your beauty, you're still kind of aging and you're not necessarily in your prime. And then wouldn't it be nice to have a partner to age well together with and to be, you know, compatible with someone who's going to be in your life and actually love you versus love your money. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a point where, you know, and you're, for women, like I have so many women friends who are brilliant and they've waited till they're like 45 and they haven't gotten married. And now they're having such a hard time finding a reasonable person to date. And then, you know, another 10 years, no kids, a cat, nobody in their life. And then who do you grow old with? So I really like that idea of kind of thinking of someone to have a life partner to.
And you feel that marriage locks that down, that you're going to grow old with somebody?
No, but
because
it doesn't mean that. It certainly doesn't mean that. But I think like you have to know in your own head, your definition of marriage is you're entering a contract that you're not going to break.
Right.
Like in America and all over the world now, like divorce is part of the equation.
50% of the equation.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but there should be a mindset where like, if you want to have divorce as part of the equation, then don't get married. Marriage. It's like, so, it's like when I have a kid, I can't get the kid out of my life. It's part of my existence.
So your thought is, you what I'm hearing you say is that you don't really believe in divorce. If you're going to get married, get married.
I think if you're going to get married, like you kind of commit to like, person gets cancer, you got to survive it with them. The person's an ass, you got to survive that year. You got to work through it. You hate their guts, I guess, you know, either murder them or come see marriage boot camp. But but I mean, I don't think, I don't believe in staying in a loveless marriage, but I do think that there's so many fluctuations that marriage goes through.
Absolutely.
And cycles of being like so passionate and over the top and then like so boring and so, you know, like there are stages of life. And if you can't be mature enough to know and navigate that you're with a good, solid person and you should ride the ride the waves, then maybe marriage is not for you.
I love that thought process. I have been with my husband going on 22 years.
Same here, mine too.
See? And, and we've had, you know, peaks and valleys. And we both understand that we are each other's lifelong partner. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like we both understand that. Like, we both get it.
Yeah.
And because we understand that, it creates, I think, a much more peaceful state of being.
Totally. Because even the fights, even though they can be like big fights or whatever, you still know that that person's going to be there.
Yeah.
And
they'll,
we'll get over it and in a few weeks we'll be fine.
Yeah. They're there to love. They're there to love you.
Yes.
You know, I have to say, I really do feel like my husband taught me how to love people for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we met when I was very young and I just adore him. In 22 years, the man has never said a mean word to me. Who can see that?
That's amazing.
I've said some mean shit to him. But I'm like the fire in the relationship. You know what I mean? Like he's super chill.
The yin and the yang.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that works for us.
That's awesome. And I think maybe we both have good role models. I know I have my parents and my in-laws who've been together for so long. And it's just interesting to see the evolution of relationships.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No, my parents have been married forever. My mother never went to high school.
Wow.
She was pregnant with my, I'm one of five. She was pregnant with my older sister at going on 16. She's like a teen mom OG.
Wow.
Like she's like the first. And they're amazing. My parents are amazing. And I think watching them go through the cycles of a relationship and the developmental stages of a relationship and their lives.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, you know, she had me at 17. My mother's only 17 years older than me.
Yeah.
So I was able to see
her
them
grow up. Yeah, you could see them grow
up together. So I did have this idea of like, no matter what,
you're in it.
You stick it out. But I will say, I never wanted to get married or have kids.
Really?
They were the two best decisions I never made. My husband talked me into them.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that I would be, you know, just, I didn't mind being by myself. I you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't, I didn't feel like that was in my future.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know you have that place in your heart till the little babies make a place in your heart.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so tell me a little bit about your beauty routine. You're fabulous.
Let's talk beauty.
Yes.
Well, which part do you want to know?
All the down and dirty. I mean, I'm very open with what I do. I do Botox. I have a little filler. I have Jen Kybella for my chin. I'm all about If you're a woman who has a good trick and you know how it makes you feel good, look good, share it.
I bathe my face in Botox. So I just want to point...
Botox bathing is good.
I just want to point that out. And that has done wonders for me.
Yes.
And it's helped me...
Preventatively.
Yeah, preventative. So I started right between my eyebrows from reading so much, from... reading research, I had this these lines. What is
little
the
furrows?
The little furrows number 11 right between my eyebrows. I started doing that very young. I must have been like 26, 27.
Yes.
And now my face can't even make that. Like, that's how preventative it is. Like,
yeah, like, you know.
My eyebrows don't even squish together.
Those muscles, they atrophy. They thin out with regular Botox. Yeah. The muscles will really thin and atrophy. And you just don't need powerful frown muscles in life.
And I'll tell you, I feel that I feel that as I have gotten older, I have the need for a little bit more movement. Because what you don't want to look is like... you know, older and frozen, because then you look older.
Yeah, so, you want to be age appropriate. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And now it's all about the neck, like for me. I'm all about the neck.
Me too.
It's all about the neck, because look, your face, you can do whatever you want with it and look great.
Yeah.
But that neck, if it
gives
doesn't
it all
reflect,
away.
It gives it all away.
Yes.
So I've been putting like Renova that I would put like on my face. I'm putting it on my neck.
And that's a Retin-A, everybody. Use your Retin-A. Yes.
Also a cream, just plain old Retin-A. I've been putting it on my neck.
Good. That's a little strong for every day for every person.
For sure.
But you can start out light on that. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening who are going to go try bathing Renova and Retin-A. Go easy, because it collects in those neck creases and it gives irritation.
So I've been, that's what I've been up to, is really trying to like sort of help my neck maintain
itself. I would love to treat you to a Thermi neck treatment.
Yes, Queen.
Yes.
I will do that.
It's a radio frequency laser device and it heats up underground collagen. Yeah. Feels like a hot stone massage. It's awesome. There's no downtime. Mm-hmm. And just like last year's bathing suit loses its stretch and elasticity, so it zaps it and gives it that back, that recoil, nice elastic tissue returns.
Sold.
Yes. So it's really good.
Sold for 47 year old wearing black.
Definitely got to try that and my neck cream too.
Yeah.
You would really love it.
I'm telling you, I'm about the neck and skin in general, because the thing is that age is universal. Like people will now say, which I hate, she looks good for her age. Like that kills me.
Because
it's like, all right. Because as women, we're not allowed to age.
Get distinguished.
Right. Well, here's the thing.
Rugged.
Is that people, if you're in the spotlight or if you're on TV, people will condemn you for aging as a woman.
True.
And that's, they'll condemn you for a life process.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll condemn you for doing something about it.
It's so wrong.
So you're caught in this catch 22. You're condemned for aging, and then you're condemned for trying to do something about it.
Right.
And that's an awful place for women to be in general, because it creates shame no matter what you do.
Right. And it almost demeans your level of intelligence. Like, oh, because you're trying to look good at that age, you're a bimbo. Like, no, that's not true. You can be a woman of substance, character, and intelligence and want to maintain your beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And
go, girl.
Yes.
Preach.
Right?
Preach.
Yes. It infuriates me that men are allowed to get rugged and distinguished. And, you know, on women, it doesn't look good to look rugged. But
well, we're so into monitoring women's behavior. That's what that is.
Yeah.
You want to monitor women's behavior. You want to control what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like if she wants to go and do Botox and fillers and whatever it is, go, girl.
Better.
You go.
Yeah.
We don't have that same standard for men.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's so true.
So, so for me, I do the typical Botox, and that has been working. So
that's great.
Yeah, that feels good.
Awesome. Well, you're just such a beauty and
smart,
and I'm really loving this book advice. So I'm going to read, and I want all my followers out there to read Bad Advice, How to Survive and Thrive in an Age of Bullshit.
Thank you. This was so fun, Dr. K.
It was so great to interview you. And where can all the followers find you on Instagram and other places?
Oh, geez. This is such a brain tease, but I'm going to do this. Instagram, it's Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R _V _.
Yay.
And on Twitter, it's DR_V_tweet.
Awesome.
So Dr. V tweet.
Dr. V, and we'll watch you on Marriage Bootcamp.
Yes. Tonight, as a matter of fact.
Tonight,
I don't know
when
you guys do this. Thursday nights.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you're going to be in there with Soldier Boy and who else?
Yeah. Waka Flocka, Soldier Boy, Lil Mo, Lil Fizz, and...
good luck with that.
And Jessica Dime. Jessica
Dime.
Wow. People love her.
Yeah.
Good
luck.
I love her. Yeah.
It's been so fabulous to talk to you, and I'm so excited to have you back to treat your neck someday.
Yes, I'm here.
Yay.
I can't wait.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in, and you can find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, and our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. And don't forget to try my amazing neck cream. Use it twice a day with upstrokes. Do the lymphatic massage while you rub that in and get all the benefits. So stay tuned for more beauty. Stay beautiful.